All right. Once you get your Bibles out this morning, we're going to be working in the book of Matthew chapter 6. So if you want to get there, of course, if you don't have your scriptures this morning with you, we have got them on the screen and in your notes, so it shouldn't be a problem. Everyone should be able to follow along pretty well. And we're going to continue today in our series about unshakable faith. Now, the first time we talked about unshakable faith, we talked about defining faith and what faith was all about and what kind of faith or doubt we were feeding in our life was what we're going to end up with at the end. Last week we talked about what? You see how effective my teaching is? But just see, he wasn't here, so he doesn't know. Well, today we're going to talk about unshakable faith in God's provision, in how He provides for our needs, how He provides for our needs. Now, I want to share a picture with you this morning. Caitlin, if you can bring this up. Some of you younger folks immediately know what this is. Some of you older folks have no idea what's going on here, and that's okay because you don't do this, and that's all right. So for my young folks here, what's going on in this picture? Texting. Somebody is texting. Now, Brother Billy, I don't know if you know what texting is or not. You probably do. And see, that just shows you how saturated our culture is with this stuff. If Brother Billy is up with the new technology trends, then everybody's up with the new technology trends. Well, basically what texting is it's a substitute for a phone call, right? Instead of calling somebody and talking to them for a minute or two, you just shoot them a text, right? You say, hey, on my way, or, you know, I'll meet you at 6 or whatever. Well, there's a big problem that has emerged with all this new technology in that people now use it in very inappropriate places. And one of those is in a vehicle. Now, a lot of people will take out their phone and they will do that while they're driving, Ken. While they are behind the wheel of a vehicle, they do that. Now, some of you have actually done this. Shame on you. And some of you have seen people doing it, right? How many of you ever seen someone doing this and they're going to have their phone doing this business? Okay. Well, I want to let you know that I looked at some studies. And in 2007, this is an old study, it said at least 50% of all teenagers texted while driving. In 2007. Now, you can only imagine that there's more people with cell phones, more teenagers with cell phones now than there was in 2007, right? All right. So I can almost guarantee you, Will, that today there's a lot more percentage of people, teenagers included, texting while they drive than 50%. That's old data. And I also read that 25% of all vehicle accidents, have to do with someone being distracted by a cell phone, whether it's texting or talking on the phone or dialing a phone number, whatever it may be. 1/4 of all vehicle accidents happen because people are distracted by their cell phones. And Ken, you'll appreciate this. It says that if someone's behind the wheel of a diesel, then that goes up 20 times. So if someone's texting and they're driving a big truck, they're 20 times more likely than the 25% to have accidents, right? That's crazy, right? That is crazy. So what's going on here is something important is going on in front of you, and you're being distracted by something that's not very important. Now, I want to make this very clear. If you're driving down the road, Miss Terry, and you've got a family that's heading your way, that's got a couple of babies in the back, mom and dad, on their way to church, okay, and you get a text from somebody, what's more important, for you to pick up your phone and answer the text, or to make sure that you protect that family that's coming towards you in your vehicle? The family is much, much more important, right? There is never a reason, ever, that you should ever be distracted behind the wheel of a vehicle by a cell phone. There's never an excuse for it. Why? Because you can always pull over, right? You can always pull over. So what you have happening here is something that's way more important is being forgotten because of something that means very little. Right? The texting doesn't matter. The other people on the road and even your life is far, far more important. Folks, we do this all the time with our faith. We do this all the time with our faith. We get distracted from what God really wants to do in our lives and with our faith over little junk that doesn't matter at all. When we should be trusting the Lord, we're obsessing about it ourselves. When we should be leaving it at the feet of Jesus, we're doubting and stressing and scared and worried, and we take that all on ourselves, and we get distracted from what's really important to mess with stuff that's very trivial. Amen? To mess around with stuff that's very trivial. And see, this is where Satan gets you. Satan wants you distracted. Satan wants you distracted. Look at the person next to you and say, Satan wants you distracted. Satan wants you distracted this morning, church. He wants to take your eyes and your faith off of what he's got in store for you and get you worrying about little insignificant junk that you should be leaving at his feet, right? And not worrying about it and not stressing about it, not being afraid of it and trusting him for it and doing what he's asked you to do. Amen? Happens all the time in our faith. So what I want to do is I want to take a look at our scripture this morning. First, we're going to have our main idea. I want you to repeat this after me. Unshakable faith is knowing that God will provide for your every need. Now, folks, some of you are going to struggle with this, but I promise you, I'm going to prove to you today, without a shadow of a doubt, that this statement is 100% true. Unshakable faith is knowing that God will provide for your every need. And not only is that statement true, but God is already providing for your every need. I'm going to prove it to you today, okay? So let's read our scripture and then we'll get back into that. Let's take a look at our scripture. Do you have Matthew? Did I put that on there, Caitlin? Okay. I got it on the notes. So get your notes out. Matthew chapter 6. See, this is why I have multiple notes floating around. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25, it says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Now, did you see a theme forming in that particular scripture? What word is used over and over and over? Worry. And see, when you read that and you see worry over and over and over again, the word worry, you tend to think that that's what these scriptures are all about. You tend to think that's the message that's trying to be communicated is don't worry. But I'm going to challenge that. And I'm going to say a word that was only used once is what this is all about. He says, you of little faith. This scripture, these passages are all about faith. Exactly, they're all about a lack of faith or having little faith. And that little faith leads to what? Leads to the worry. So the worry is a symptom of how little faith that you have. I want you to really notice that today, that these scriptures are not necessarily about worrying as much as they are about having small faith. Amen? Having small faith. So, here's what your plan looks like. You ready for your plan? I'm going to share God's plan here in just a second. This is what your plan looks like according to the scripture we just read. Your plan is to what? Worry that you don't have the things that you need, lacking faith. You worry that you don't have the things you need, or you won't have the things that you need, lacking faith. That's what brings about the worry. So first I want to challenge this. How many of you here are starving to death this morning? Raise your hand. Jamie, I'm not talking about people who just want to eat. I'm talking about people who have no food. There's not a single person in this whole church that's starving to death in a literal sense. Every one of you have food. I don't care how it got to your house. I don't care if you had plenty of money to buy it, or if you're on food stamps, or if somebody brought the groceries to you. Everybody here has food. Can I get an amen? Second thing I want to ask you, how many of you here walked in with rags on your back? Anybody here have no choice when you leave home in the morning except for some tattered, dirty, filthy rags or no clothes at all? Nobody. See, every single person here has clothing, and they're not rags. They're decent clothing. Some of them are very nice clothing. Everybody here has plenty of food. Everybody here has clothes on their back. Can I get an amen? Now, how many of you here are homeless? Anybody here homeless? Now, you may have a small house. You may have a broke down house. You may have a house that's not the color you want. You may have a house not in the neighborhood you want. You may have a house you didn't dream of. You may have your dream home. But all of you have a place to live. Amen? So we've established this morning that everybody has food, everybody has clothing, and everybody has shelter. Have we not? So I'm really gonna just shake you up this morning. Are you ready? God has already fulfilled this promise. God has already provided for your needs. So there's not a single person here that should ever worry about a need, because you got them. There's not a single person here that should ever be stressed out about a need, because they're met. There's not a single person here that should ever fear that they won't have what they need, because you have it and you always have. But this is where the distraction comes in. This is where Satan wants to make the text message more important than the family driving down the road. Are you following me? This is where Satan wants to get you confused and mixed up. See, you don't worry and stress and have fear over what you need. You have it because of the lifestyle you want. See, now I hope this is really blowing somebody's mind this morning, because God has already blessed you with what you need. But Satan can have you distracted into worry and fear and stress because of the lifestyle you want. That bigger vehicle, that bigger house, that extra package on your satellite, right? That faster internet connection, that better looking motorcycle, that nicer lawnmower. I just gotta have it. I'm so stressed. I don't know where I'm gonna get the money. You don't need it. You've already got what you need. You are stressing and worrying and fearful over things that don't matter. And that's where Satan gets you distracted. Now, some of you say, Pastor, what if it's not about money? You know, what if it's not about stuff? What if it's about health? Nina just shared this morning that those tumors came back on her leg. What if it's a health problem that I'm dealing with? What do you say then? Nina, are you saved? You know Jesus is your Savior. Where are you going to go when you die? You're going to heaven. What do you got to worry about? What do you got to stress about? What do you got to fear? But Satan distracts you. And he wants to creep in there and have you believe that those things are real problems when they're not. You can't fix it, can you, Nina? You can't fix it, right? You go to the doctor, you take medicine, you pray, and then you just have to trust God. That's all any of us can do. Amen? That's all any of us can ever do. Health problems, financial problems, any problem. All you can do is do the absolute best you know how to do and then let God take over. But Satan will distract you by making you think you can fix it. There's something you're not doing. You need to worry about this because you need to be scared to death. You need to be scared if you can't get that bigger vehicle. You need to want better things for your family, right? And all that's greed and all that's manipulation. And all he wants to do is get you so distracted that you're worried, you're stressed, and you're scared. And once he's done that, he's accomplished his mission. Amen, church? Amen. So I want to share with you this morning that unshakable faith is not that hard in this area. Just look at what God's already given you. You don't have anything to worry about. You don't have anything to stress about. We got Jesus. We have our salvation. We have food, clothing, and shelter. Amen. What? Amen. Right. We got it all. But Satan will convince you or try to convince you that you have nothing. Isn't that a shame, church? He'll try to convince you have nothing when you have everything. Oh, my goodness. So, what your plan looks like is I'm going to worry that I don't have the things that I need and I'm going to lack faith. The second part of your plan is the lack of faith leads to misplaced priorities. At the end of the verses we just read, it said very clearly, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness and these other things, they'll be added to you as well. So the point, the big priority in this life is to seek first his kingdom in his righteousness. So we want to find God's will for our lives. Amen? What is God's plan? What does God want me doing? What is he up to that I can partner with and go out in the world and make a difference? What is it that God wants? That's what I want to be about. But then Satan distracts you and you get so worried you think, well, I got to take that extra shift at work. I have to have it. No, you don't. You got food, clothing, and shelter. You don't need anything else. Right, you don't have to have it. He'll convince you that you got to take extra jobs. He'll convince you you got to have extra hours. And for some of you, you're in a situation where your job has moral elements to it. Right? Let's just say, for instance, there's none of you here today, but let's just say we're talking about a car salesman, because that's an easy one. Okay? So a car salesman knows the car he's trying to sell is a piece of junk. But he also knows that if he doesn't sell that car, he doesn't get paid. Right, Brother Billy? So what he has to do is he has to manipulate you into thinking it's a good deal when, Ken, it's a bad one. So if this man's a Christian, what has he had to do? He's had to lie. He's had to compromise his morals because he's worried and stressed and scared that if he doesn't, he's not going to get the money. He has no faith that God can provide another job or a car dealership that stands behind everything that it sells. God can make a way. So sometimes you take on extra because you think you have to and you really don't. Sometimes you have to compromise your morals in a job. And sometimes it's just the time you spend worrying and stressing and being scared that eats away from all this stuff that God wants you to do. How many of you have ever laid awake at night, literally hours upon hours upon hours, worrying and stressed out? Raise your hand. I know I've done it. Completely obsessed with whatever that thing. Think of the time you wasted when you could have been praying for somebody. Think of the time you wasted when you could have been studying Scripture. Think of the time you wasted when you could have been volunteering at the Sunshine House, right? But instead, you're sitting at the house. Woe is me, I don't know what I'm going to do. How am I going to work it out? Everything's just coming down on me and it never works out and it's never right. How can I fix it? Oh. Folks, sometimes just the time you're wasting worrying and stressing and scared is enough to distract you from what God wants you to be doing. Amen? Folks, I've been so distraught and so worried and beat down where I felt like I couldn't even go to church. Now, what kind of lie has Satan pushed on us when we think we're so worried and stressed and scared about our life that we can't even make time for our church family? I mean, I just want you to think about how wide and broad this deception is. He's convinced us that all this little minutia, these little nothings, they're so much more important. When in truth, we already have everything that's necessary. Amen? Amen. It's a lie. It's a deception. So we misplace our priorities. You start missing church. You start skipping out on ministry opportunities. You start spending more time worrying and stressed and afraid than you do working on your marriage or your parenting. I want you to think of all the ministry opportunities that God gives each and every one of us. You say, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. What ministry opportunities do I have? If you're married, that's one right there. You minister to your husband, wives. Husbands, you minister to your wives. If you've got kids, you minister to your kids. If you've got grandkids, you minister to them. If you work somewhere, be a light, a shining light in a dark place. Be the salt of the earth. No matter where you go, there's ministry opportunities. And you say, well, if I start preaching at my job, they'll fire me. I'm not telling you to preach. Although, if God asks you to, you better have the faith that they're not going to fire you. Or if they do, he's got a better job. Amen. Are you following me? This is what faith is about. Unshakable faith is about not allowing that deception to rule your life and mess up your priorities. And if your priorities this morning are so focused on all that stress and that worry and that fear and what you do to conquer it, and they've got you distracted from ministry in whatever form it takes. They've got you distracted from church. They've got you distracted from the joy of being a Christian and learning and growing. If they got you distracted from living a Christian life in holiness and purity, then Satan has done all he needs to do. Right? He just won. Now let's take a look at the third part. Instead of first seeking God's will, you run after your own. This is your plan. This is my plan. This is how we do it. We worry, we get our priorities all mixed up, and then we say, what do I want out of life? Not what, God, what do you want out of life? What do you want from me? Where do you want me to live? What do you want me to do for a living? How do you want me to minister? How do you want me to raise my kids? How do you want my marriage to look? What is your plan? Instead, our plan is, I'm going to do it my way. Now, your life's full of worry and stress and fear. Your priorities are all messed up and you're headed in the wrong direction with the wrong things at the top of the pyramid. And folks, you're running after things that you want. They're going to take you there. But the things that you want aren't near as good as the thing God wants for you. And you may very well get exactly what you want, but you may regret it in the end. That sounds like a pretty sad, destructive, lonely life. Bring up this picture, Caitlin. I got a picture. Seems to sum it up. Some of you. Anybody know who this is? It's Gollum, right? If you've ever read The Lord of the Rings or if you've seen the movies, you know. This guy is living in a cave, huddled over in the corner with his little ring and a piece of dead fish, nibbling, scared of everything all around him, right? Just huddled in that corner. And when I think of living under that worry and that stress and that fear and allowing that to dictate all that we do and our priorities are all wrong and we're going our way, that's where we're going to end up. That's the image in my head. Somewhere in this dark basement in the corner with our little scraps that we pulled together, worried something's going to take it away, something's going to go wrong, hiding from the world, right? Scared. I don't want to live like that. Do you? I want to have some joy. I want to have some light in my life, some freedom in my life. I want God to take me to some amazing places. And I don't think God wants us in a cave, right? I don't think God wants us that stressed and that worried and that upset. I don't think God wants bad things for us, folks. He wants good things. So let's take a look at His plan. We've looked at our plan. Let's look at God's plan. God's plan for your life is this. less worry, stress and fear. In fact, his plan is that you would have none of those. So how many of you, if you'd vision with me, just imagine with me for a second, no worrying ever. That's God's plan. No stress ever. That's God's plan. No fear of anything ever. That's God's plan. How many of you would love to live a life with no worry, no stress, and no fear? Raise your hand. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen. That's what God wants for you. That's what He wants for me. That's why the Scripture says don't worry. That's why the Scripture says perfect love drives out all fear, right? That's why the Scripture teaches us that He wants us to have life and have it more abundantly. We were not designed by God to worry and stress and fear. That is something that Satan brings out of us. Amen? And he manipulates it and takes advantage of it, and he can ruin your life doing it. But here's the vision. No worry, no stress, no fear. Here's the second part. To have every single one of you and your family's needs provided for. Now, we talked about that already, but how wonderful would it be if we had no worry, no stress, and no fear, and all your needs were met? And we've already established that they are. Right? Did Jesus die for you? Through faith, can you accept that grace that He gave? Right? Then you can be saved, so you don't have to fear death or anything that surrounds that. No sickness, none of that stuff. And you've got food, you've got clothing, you've got shelter. All you've got to do is win that lifestyle battle. That's all you got to do. It's not about your lifestyle. It's about your needs. And God has already met those. So no worry, no stress, no fear. All your needs are met, right? Sounding a lot better than your plan, right? Let's take a look at the next part. To be active in His work, spreading the love of Christ Jesus and making a real difference. Now, folks, I don't know how many of you ask this question, but I ask it all the time. Am I making a real difference in this world, or am I just making a paycheck? Am I impacting anybody's life for the good? Am I making the world a better place to live in? Am I bringing joy into anybody's life, happiness into anybody's life? Have I shared the good news of Jesus and helped somebody get free of all those chains that's been binding them up? Have I helped somebody today? When I die, have I really made a difference? Now, folks, I'm not saying that your job's not important. It is. Running a business, working for somebody, whatever it is you do, it's important. But it's just a paycheck. You can bring a different attitude to work with you and become a minister. And being a minister makes a real difference. And I'm not talking about a pastor. I'm not talking about preaching in a church. I'm talking about being a child of God that's not ashamed of it and is willing to shine that light so that it helps other people. Bring them close to Jesus. Makes their life brighter. Don't you want to make a real difference? You know, there's that old commercial where the guy, the Dunkin' Donuts guy, you got to remember it. It's time to make the donuts. It's time to make the donuts. And April and I have talked about this before. And there have been times, I'm ashamed to say, in ministry, where I've had that attitude, Brother Billy. It's time to make the donuts. It's time. The truth is that all of us get there. Whatever it is that you're doing in life, you can get to the point where it's just a paycheck, it's just a responsibility, it's just something you have to do. The truth is, you can make a real difference in this world if you don't get distracted. Amen? And He wants to use every single person here to make a difference in His kingdom. Seek first My kingdom, His kingdom, right? Now here's the last part. In living a morally pure and just life, free of the consequences of sin. You want to have a little pop quiz? You ready this morning? I might step on toes. You might be upset. You might think it's inappropriate. We're going to go there because I feel like God wants me to. You know how to avoid getting a sexually transmitted disease? Don't fornicate. Look, that's a biblical word, and it means having sex out of wedlock. You get married, you stay with the same partner. Guess what? 100% safe. The only reason that sexually transmitted diseases are transmitted is because people do what the Bible calls fornicate, Will. They have sex with all kinds of people, and they're not supposed to, and they pass it from one person to the next, and that they pass it to somebody else. Listen, it's common sense, is it not? You do something like that, there is a consequence. Are you following me on this? Okay, look. If you don't want to go to prison, this is algebra, right? Fill in the blank. If you don't want to go to prison, A, right, then B, don't commit a crime. If you commit a crime and you go to prison, that's a consequence of that sin. Are you? I can go all day like this. It's not hard. How would you like to live a life, Ken, that is morally pure and just, righteous, right? Seek His righteousness, where you never have to fear the consequences of sin. See, this is God's plan for your life. No worry, no stress, no fear. All your needs are met. You're doing meaningful ministry in the lives of your family and your friends and your co-workers and your community. And there's no consequences from any of the sin because you're living in His righteousness, right? You're living a holy life. Folks, that's a beautiful plan. That's a great plan. That's the plan that God has for you and for me. We're the ones who get distracted. Right? We take our eyes off what's important, and that's all Satan wants to do is take your eyes off what's important. He wants to shake your faith. And he wants to get you to believe that God cannot provide for you what you need. And that's just a lie straight from where? From hell. Straight from hell. And by the way, that's not a curse word in that context, right? I mean the literal. Okay, so here's our baby step application today. And I hope you understand this as I share it with you, because I think it's important. I think you can do it. The next time your faith is challenged and you begin to worry, stress, or become fearful, ask yourself, what is this distracting me from? Your worry, your stress, and your fear. Now, go with me. Is this distracting me from my husband and his needs? Is this distracting me from my wife and her needs? Is this distracting me from my children and their needs? Is this distracting me from my grandkids and their needs? Is this distracting me from the ministry that God has given me as a light in the world and a salt of the earth at my job or at Walmart or the grocery store or in public in general? Is this distracting me from my relationship with Jesus Christ? Is it distracting me from church and church activity and being with the body of Christ? Is it distracting me from teaching or worshiping? What is this worry, stress, and fear distracting me from? Because I promise you, folks, this is a promise and I stand behind it. Whenever you worry, which God clearly does not want us to do, amen, or you stress or you're fearful, it is distracting you from something important. Amen? It is distracting you from something important. If you will rest on this promise, God will provide for your every need. Don't worry. Don't stress. Don't be afraid. Then He's going to do some wonderful things in your life and through your life. But you keep allowing Satan to distract you, he's going to run you into that pit like Gollum. And you're going to be down there hiding from the world, grasping at whatever little junk you collected, scared of everything. I don't want to live like that. And I pray that you don't either. I'm going to ask Jamie to come up this morning. And I just want to let you know the first step in all this, and most of you have heard it a million times, but I'm going to do a million and one. The first step in this is to be freed from the guilt and burden of your sin. The best way not to fear death is to get eternal life. Can I get an amen? So this morning, if you, through faith, that unshakable faith, would place it in Jesus Christ, He's already done all the hard work, the grace, it's free. All you have to do is accept it this morning. That's the first step. And for those of you who have it, but you've been struggling with this other stuff, you need to be praying right now that you can rest in what He's already done, and believe in what He's going to do. Amen? Amen.